Every spring is a spring.
In the house.
Once upon a time in a far-off land, there lived an elephant.
I learned to do that from mouth sounds. Yes. Guy. Oh, what were you saying? Once upon a time.
There lived an elephant.
An elephant.
Like other elephants, it was big. Big enough to dwarf much of its surroundings. Unlike other elephants, it was made not of skin and bones in a trunk, but rather bricks.
Bricks.
A lot of bricks.
Bricks.
For which it was teased unmercifully by its friends.
Come on, Roger, you look like a brick you-know-what house!
Said one.
Hey, customer, is that a smokestack you're dragging around? Are you just glad to see us?
Taunted another. And the elephant, whose real name was Krishnala, just cringed and tried to suffer the jibes in good humor. But then something very strange happened. While all of his friends stopped growing when they reached a height of 11 or 12 feet, Kormadi, which was really his name, kept on getting bigger. 14 feet, 16 feet, 20. He eventually reached a toe-to-shoulder height of 54 feet and towered over his elephant buddies, who had begun to look elsewhere for someone to tease. The tribe's pachydermatologist guessed that Krishnala's extra-large body would accommodate...
Kormadi? Kormadi really was his name.
No, Krishnala.
Oh, I'm confused now.
As well you should be.
All right, here we go.
Guessed that Krishnala's extra-large body would accommodate extra-large internal organs. And she was right. His stomach, intestines, bladder, and Wurlitzer were all supersized. But his heart... Now, that was really big. So big that he felt compelled to agree to almost anything that others asked of him.
Chase the crows from my lotus field, if you please, Kusumesh,
entreated one. The giant elephant dutifully raised his trunk 100 feet in the air and whipped... And whipped it back and forth over the field. Whap, whap, whap. The frightened crows took flight and never came back.
And they never came back.
Never came back.
Never came back. Chase the crows from my lotus field. And they never came back.
They never came back.
Okay, so here we have another one.
Then. We have another one. Okay.
Take the sledge to the river, fill it with bream, and bring it back to me. Will you, Kormadi?
Asked another. And without hesitation, he did. He even carefully filleted the fish with his sharp tusks, and then baked them in a galangal curry.
Kamaraja,
implored a third,
will you allow us to hold a concert of marvelous music inside you?
Krishnala had to think about that one. He was, after all, one of those animals that never forgot. So he hadn't forgotten the time those so-called musicians and dancers performed the rite of sprinklers in his abdomen and left his viscera covered with an unpleasant slurry-like substance.
Did it have a name?
Yes, an unpleasant slurry-like substance.
I see, okay.
No, he wouldn't allow something like that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
However, the person making the request, and it was a human after all, seemed nice enough. Her fluttery voice reminded him of the trance fountain of Namdrolling. Do you have a...
Namdrolling?
Namdrolling. No, that's a fountain.
What? Oh, what? Do I have a what?
A sound for the fountain. Okay. We're a little lean on fountain sounds.
Well, go get some.
Oh, okay. Plus, she had a pair of bass clarinets stitched to a rucksack to ward off evil appoggiaturas, presumably, and that more than anything else convinced him of her trustworthiness. His heart swelled as he thought that, yes, he would allow her to hold a concert inside of him.
Oh, yes.
The day of the event arrived, and Kormadi was as excited as he had ever been.
Oh, yes.
Except perhaps for the time he discovered that adrenaline plant deep in the forest and ate every last petal.
Oh, yes.
The human, whose name he could not pronounce, though it sounded a bit like a carnivorous annelid worm he once knew, had spruced up his innards nicely.
Oh, yes.
Doilies covering his intestines? Who ever heard of such a thing?
I have doilies covering mine. What's wrong with you?
I've never heard of such a thing.
Yes, they're doily-covered intestines. They're called detestines.
Oh, detox. Then she watched intently as a tribe of technicians installed noise producers atop his latissimus dorsi. It didn't hurt. In fact, when one of the devices was turned on, it tickled his elephancy. That's just enough of a
That's
tickle.
A little tickle.
More mysterious-sounding things were brought in, and he had to move his spleen out of the way to accommodate them. A few bricks fell off in the process, but the application... You'll never find those again.
I don't have to.
Okay. But the application of a little mortar made them right as rain again. Performers in various stages of proficiency arrived, and each seemed delighted, if not downright awestruck, to be playing in the gut of a big brick elephant. In return, Krishnala repressed an overpowering urge to break wind upwind of them.
I thought you were going to say he repressed, as if he had sat down on them and made them very small and flat.
That's reprocessed.
Reprocessed them. Oh, through his latissimus dorsi.
Exactly.
Right. All right.
Soon, audience, both pachydermal and human, began to trickle in, intent on an afternoon of quality spectating. At last, the concert commenced.
Oh, yes.
Kusumesh was at once struck by the intriguing sounds that emanated from his insides, probably because a musician was striking his insides. Rather hard, too, and with a resonant Gujarati gourd. But at last it stopped, and the elephant seemed none the worse for it. Though he was certainly no expert music critic, the piece that followed sounded to him like a severe bout of Borborygmus. His stomach responded reflexively. Okay, his stomach responded reflexively, briefly providing a natural counterpoint.
That's counterpoint.
Counterpoint to the gurgling sounds, which amused the audience no end, not to mention the readers.
Yes, that's right.
On the other hand, the third piece.
On the third hand, the other piece.
But why must Kamaraja struggle to describe it when you can easily hear it for yourselves?
Yes.
It's true. An audience had spirited a noise-copying apparatus into the very bowels of the brick elephant and recorded the concert. And we have that recording.
We do?
Here.
Here?
In the house.
The house that today features the 557th radiophonic episode in a series, and the only one that knows what a brick elephant's borborygmus sounds like. If you want to know, too, then join us.
In the house.
Just mind the large pile of dung by the door.
And so we do have the interior of the elephants. And
the
you were there.
Element. Was I?
Yes, you were there. And I was not. And you were co-hosted by the elephantine interior decorator.
Yes, the annelid Mary Jane Leach.
Yes, indeed. So I'll just disappear from the premises and leave it all to you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
But of course, I mean, you had to listen to it, so. I don't, and I don't have to. And
right,
it's to my great pleasure that I don't.
Fine, that's okay. A great indictment of this lovely concert.
No, I'm not indicting at all. It's just long. So join us for the next 2.5 hours.
Really? That's how much it was?
Oh yes. Well, cutting off the silence.
The silence.
Yes, and the bad music.
And the bad, yes, that too.
All right, and that's it. And we're here, and
next time will be another time.
We'll be another time.
Do you want to introduce whatever this is we're doing?
Yes.
All right.
As soon as Dan...
Oh, yes.
...gives us the nod.
I want to just let the kids
knob?
Know they're going to be invited up at some point.
Yeah. At any time, or you let them know...
I'm going to tell you what you're going to do.
Okay.
Now, you're going to have to be careful because there's stuff here. But if you walk right through Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what I did.
There's this box with the white tape on it. You can come up here. Your job is going to be to kick this. Until the sound stops. And then you're the next one. You want to try that now?
Come on, Ellie. Come on.
Your job is to get it.
Come on.
It's a simple.
I just kick it. Yeah. I just kick it.
Like. There's a cord around here somewhere. Oh, this one. Yeah. So kick it. Kick it harder. person comes up.
Cool, huh? Go try it again.
Not yet. So that was just rehearsal. That's what you're going to have to do.
Hey, you did a good job, Kelly. Did you hear how you sounded, how you changed the
just
sound?
Just like that. You can do better than that. It's like a soccer ball.
All right, Logan. Pretend you're taking Lucas.
What kind of church was this once upon a time?
This was a Catholic church, David.
And they did this in the church. This is part of the service.
It's a sacrament. The sacrament of the whistle.
The whistle, yes. Okay, this is lovely. We're in the Valley of the Falls, which was made into a movie in the 1970s, the Jacqueline and Suzanne book.
Oh my God, I totally forgot it. And we're sitting right next to all those falls with their heads off.
Yes, yes. Ah, history. What is the history of this edifice? How did it become an elephant?
Well, you know what a white elephant is?
Yes.
It's a brick elephant.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say.
But when did it lose its sacrosanctity?
About 6 years ago.
Okay. That's when you moved in and moved the spirits out?
Let's go down for closer to these people.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. The first event on the festival today is by Dan Evans Farkas.
And what is this festival, by the way?
It's a festival of firsts. There are a lot of premieres on the show, and some of the firsts are, for instance, Dan has never performed
Dan
here.
Dan being?
Evans Farkas. And actually, except for about two pieces, everything that you'll hear today has never been heard anywhere else before.
And may never be heard again.
That's true. It all depends.
Mm-hmm.
So
all right,
you have
folks,
to be really good. So
we need your funding to sustain this.
Yes, we're going to keep talking until we reach the what was the limit level for today's funding?
Right. Yes. Sign up at the back. There's a font, and we don't have any holy water in there, so we would appreciate.
But
instead.
He's a font of information.
Sure.
So anyway, what we're going to do at a certain point, Dan is going to announce that he wants the smaller people in the audience to come up and kick a box with a white tape on it. And then when the tape stops, your turn is over, and it's the next person's turn to kick the box. So, Dan, do you want to take it away?
Yeah. Does everybody have a whistle?
Yeah.
All right. I think I want to start the piece with you filling up the space with that whistle over this. So, start whistling.
Yeah.
mention that Dan just recently came back from being exiled doing the music editing for Michael Moore's new film. So he was incommunicado for a couple of months.
Communicado, that's near Switzerland?
No, that's near Syracuse.
Oh, yeah. Do we have a name for that composition?
Dan, is there a name for that?
No, not yet.
Is it like a Saturday, October 3rd performance?
Valley of the Falls.
Valley of the Falls.
Valley of the Falls 1, part 1.
And the subtitle, do you have any hearing left? Yeah. So the next piece is only a tape piece, and it was made by a composer who lives near here, just about 10 miles away in Buskirk.
And he or she is here?
No, he is going to be. I'm going to play it again at 5 o'clock. So this is like the sneak.
He had a previous engagement. He couldn't even come to his own bloody performance.
He actually had
10 miles away.
He had a medical emergency. Had to make him feel bad.
We could take care of it here.
He just turned 81, and he's a very good composer. And this whole piece. Oh, I have actually something written down about it.
This is called dead air in radio speak.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we need some dead air just to recover the high end of our hearing. Anyway, the name of the piece is Drops of Water. And there's a quote here, a Malaysian haiku. The lone drop of water joins to become larger and gathers friends. It's a relationship with Buddha, which the small things can join together and can become more powerful. And his notes for the piece are the pitches, rhythms, and textures of 5 exquisitely recorded samples of the sound of dripping water are the source for everything in this composition. The individual ingredients, or themes, if you like, are presented one by one in their original state during the opening few minutes of the composition. What follows is quite literally a series of variations on these opening 5 fragments, which are greatly expanded and altered. So I'm going to play this, and then there's going to be like a short break, and then we'll start the 3 o'clock set. But meanwhile, there is artwork that you can look at. There are photographs by John Flanders of some concerts from here and some local musicians. There's sculpture in the entryway and in the confessional. And there's artwork by Tyler Whedon over on this wall and I think in the lobby as well. And when the screen comes down, Casey Dorio, who lives in Johnsonville, has a couple of sculptures in the back. So hopefully you can not be bored in between the sets.
Let's talk about commerce. What do you have for sale here?
I don't have anything for
you
sale.
Don't?
No.
Aren't you representative of the arts? We must sell ourselves. What can these fine audiences...
David, you know we sell ourselves, but we get nothing for it. We just sell out.
Can we try going in a new direction?
I could be into some money.
Yes.
Yes.
You heard it here, people.
Yes. So, David, you talk, and I'm going to find the CD and put it in the CD player.
This is a...
Is David Gunn, by the way, a.k.a. Damien.
Of Calvus and Damien. Calvus and Damien is still in existence, mostly on the internet, but we do occasional concerts. And we're trying to take our show on the road, but, you know, it's kind of tough, so that's why we're looking to make a little commerce out of this. Calvus has some CDs for sale on his website, calvus.org. And I have some at davidgunn.org, and there's plenty of entertainment there, as there will be here as soon as Mary Jane starts the damn tape. Sorry.
I think we all got kind of high. You know, it's like when you're young and it's like about 7 o'clock on a Sunday night and you get really wound up. That's kind of how I feel right now after Dan's piece.
Okay.
So I just think we needed just like a little bit of time to cleanse our ears.
The butterfly on the other end of the planet flapped its wings and it came over here and it turned into Dan's piece.
Oh, no, actually it turned into a wasp that's flying around.
Oh, okay, lovely.
So I'm going to start this play. It's totally taped, so if you get like too bored to sit still, you can walk around and look at things.
Or you could come up and kick the machine.
Right. Just kidding. So this is Drops of Water by Carl Corte. David, I thought I turned the CD on and off very well, don't you?
Masterfully, masterfully. You had to come to the Valley of the Falls to do that. And I mean, we just heard again, the piece was?
Drops of Water by Carl Corte. And actually, every sound in it was derived from a drop of water. There are five different drops, sounds of five different drops of water. So that was pretty cool.
Yes.
So at 3 o'clock, which is only 5 minutes from now, we're going to have Nicholas Chase do a big multimedia extravaganza, and I can't remember the name of it, except that I know it has Lucky Moscow's name in it. So, Nick, what's the name of your piece?
Songs of the Thirsty Sword.
Thongs.
Yes. All the performers will be dressed in thongs and bow ties.
I read the Molly Dowd op-ed, you know, about William Sapphire having her explain what thongs were. Because I have thongs on my mind.
Best place to have them.
So anyway, Songs of the Thirsty Sword.
Thongs of the Thirsty Sword.
That's a real tongue twister, Nick. Anyway, Lucky Moscow was a very good composition teacher at CalArts, and that's where I met him. And Nick was actually studied with me for a semester at CalArts also. So I'm trying to think if there's anything to say other than it's really hard to listen to a soft piece after a really loud and energetic piece.
Sure.
I don't know about you. How did you feel about it, David?
A little lethargic, but that's good because there's a give and take in this concert.
Yeah.
Which is will be broadcast on the Non-Pop International Network.
I kind of felt like I was about like 9 years old and just couldn't shut up during the music, though.
But you've always been that way. So come back, folks, in 2 minutes, and we'll begin the next section.
Yes, and then after Nick, we're going to have a short set by Alfred Brown, who is from Hoosick Falls. Is that right, Alfred? So check out the artwork. It's being installed as we speak.
You're listening to Calvos and Damien in the house on the Non-Pop International Network.
What?
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 The listening audience.
Are you talking to me?
The listening audience.
I see your lips moving, but I
left. We discontinued the recording process during the white noise feature when this entire brick elephant was filled. Rafters to ceiling and to floor.
Rafters to ceilings?
That's it. Okay, are we about ready?
I don't know. Nick, are you about ready?
About. That is a slippery word.
About a flu you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be slippery in another way.
The slippery bird flu.